Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
Second down, six from the Buck 42, moving left. Shotgun formation again. Another blitz coming. Here's a pass. Over the middle, caught by Mike Williams. The 50, 45 to the 40. Mike Williams to the 30. Mike Williams to the foot race. To the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Williams with another touchdown. My goodness, the rookie's got a handful now. Five of them. And a great throw on a crossing pattern from Josh Freeman.
Exactly a handful. Five. Not bad. You know, the race to 10? You got your own race to 10 going on there, too. You know what I'm saying? Yes, good to see you, 19.
It's good to be here. Good to be back on the show.
Yeah, welcome into the Buccaneers Total Access shows. Don't forget, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we rotate different Buccaneer players in, and this guy right here sitting in front of me, we want you to talk to him. I'm going to give you these numbers early. Get on the lines. As soon as we get you on the phone lines, we want to lock and load you and let you talk to Mike Williams. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. I haven't talked to you since, what was it, second or third week. So how's this whole rookie thing, the wall, all that stuff we hear about? How you doing? Give me a progress report.
I'm doing good. Like, everybody keep telling me to get ready for this rookie wall, but I'm not in no wall. I'm into the game, man. And usually they say when the rookie hit the wall is because they not playing as much, and I'm, like, playing every snap. So I'm into the game.
Well, let me ask you about the blitz. You know, early on, young quarterbacks are going to see the blitz all the time. You can't blame defensive coordinators. They're basically saying, "Yeah, you're a young quarterback. We're gonna put eight or nine guys in the box. We're gonna stuff the run." And that touchdown we just played was you guys really starting to get on the same page more and more and more with, you know, whatever you call it. I mean, breaking down the plays and the actual verbiage. But the bottom line is, you guys are getting blitzed, and now you're starting. When you score touchdowns, teams aren't going to blitz you as much. So what's that coming from?
Yeah, exactly. After that play right there, we didn't get blitzed for the rest of the game. So, it's just communication. And they had a protection meeting and these blitz meetings every Saturday. So it seemed like it's working now. And just communication to each other, and we good.
That's Mike Williams, number 19, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is Buccaneers Total Access. Should you have won that game? Could you have won that game? In other words, shoulda means you expect to win every game. Coulda means you had a chance. Do you understand the difference? What I'm talking about?
Yeah, we shoulda won that game. Like, we think we going in every game. We got a good chance of winning. So, put together a game plan to win the game, and we just fell short.
It's kind of loud out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very loud. A couple of times I had to ask Josh, "What did he say?" So. It's very loud out there.
Yeah, was that the loudest you've ever been around?
That's the loudest this year, yeah.
Yeah, that, it's nice to come home to your home crib and all, and that is part of the home field advantage. That's sometimes why that 3 or 4 point, you know, dog or favorite, just because of that home crowd. Do you think that crowd had anything to do with the outcome of that game at the end?
Oh, no, sir. We just lost the game. Can't wait to play them again, but just wait to get past that and get to Carolina this week.
I like that. That's a good answer. Another tough question. Early on, last couple of games, you've had a couple of quick drops. Okay, you don't want any drops. No receiver ever wants it. If it hits you anywhere in your hands, you want to keep it. Is that a motor thing? Is that just kind of like you're looking where to go with the ball a little too soon? Just is it more like, what is that?
It's just not enough concentration. On the first play I dropped, first play of the game, he was like,
you were wide open.
Yeah, he was like, I seen it. Like, I'm thinking touchdown the whole way, and I took my eyes off to try to get upfield real quick. And
that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
But you came back and you made some great third down receptions, moving the sticks throughout that game. I want to talk to me about some of the guys that are playing wide out with you, because obviously Michael's Spurlock is really starting to step up too, and Aurelius is starting to break out. We're seeing more and more in this as fans. We are real excited about the tandem of wide receivers we see, not just because we got a stud with number five. Now we're starting to see, you know, in other words, when you score, here's what happens. This thing starts to buzz. My phone starts buzzing and I'm in the middle of a broadcast, and I get little words like stud, beast, this guy's awesome. And people are starting to pay attention to the fact that, you know, you were a fourth round draft pick, bro. You got a little chip on your shoulder, starting to show people.
Oh, yeah. I told people,
some teams that passed you by.
It's a Dorito on my shoulder right now, big yeah. chip. Every week I go out with that chip on my shoulder. So letting people know, like, it was a mistake.
Good. That's no better way to quiet a crowd, too.
Yes, sir. Huh.
So the offense last year, you weren't here last year, so Josh had to go through his growing pains and Captain Comeback and all those things. And we want to know, it's kind of like when you look at it and you go, they're too young to realize that they're supposed to lose, or they're too young to realize they're overmatched, or they're too young to – you guys don't care about any of that. You just – I see it in you and everybody else. This is what we're talking about when we talk about chemistry. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we try not to listen to what everybody's saying. Like, at the beginning of the year, people said we was going to go 0-16. And then when we won the first two games, they said 2-14.
Who'd you play?
I didn't play nobody. And then when we beat Cincinnati, it's like, then they said, what have they done? So it's like, we get doubters every week. We just try to go out there and prove them wrong.
That's Mike Williams, number 19, Buccaneers Total Access, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Of course, on Tuesday, we do Gerald McCoy tomorrow. Excuse me. Tomorrow night will be the Josh Freeman Show. And we spoke a little bit of Michael Spurlock. He'll be on the show for you for Friday night, so don't forget about that as well. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. This is the first time for you in your professional career. I asked Gerald this same question last night, that you get to play a team again. Mm-hmm. This will be the first time you've ever faced anybody twice. The Carolina Panthers, you had two receptions, 54 yards. We're actually going to play one of those touchdowns maybe a little later on. You got your second touchdown. It was the second season of the game or of your career, the second game of your career. Now you're a little bit more salty, got a little bit more seasoning on you now. You're into your ninth game. You're studying film. You're starting to pick up tendencies on defense and things like that. I mean, when you're looking at Carolina, it's all right. You can.
Yeah, I'm kind of like I build my little scrapbook on how these corners play and how like they jump on certain passes, how they jump on this certain move. So, like Coach Ole always tell me to get a scrapbook if we gonna play that team twice. Get a scrapbook and write what they did to you in a game and what you need to work on to beat that corner next time.
What you did that worked, what you did that didn't work.
Exactly. So. So I'm kind of prepared for this one.
All right. It's nice to have this cooler weather. I know you're, played up north in New York and you played your college ball, but you were around here in August and July, so now you're starting to get into the era wetter of it's a body question, how you're holding up and all that. But you're just a young guy playing wide receiver in the NFL. Every time anybody talks to you, I mean, when I sit down and talk to you, people say he acts like he's been in this league 5 years. You don't seem wide-eyed. You don't seem intimidated. Press coverage, and I don't mean corners. I mean media. Lots more media attention towards you. Almost every time I turn around on NFL.com, you're one of the rookies of the week, nominated for another. Yeah, you're just sitting in front of me, and you're just like Captain Chill. And I'm just kind of wondering, has this always been the way you are?
Yeah, this is me. Like, it's just people getting to see it now because I'm on a bigger stage.
Okay.
Like, when you in college and in high school, they don't get to see it all over. They just knowing what they hear and what people talk about. And now I'm getting to show it to everybody.
That's got to be a pretty good feeling. Now, do you hear a lot from people in high school that you might not have heard about? And, hey, man, you're on my fantasy team now. And it's like... You're starting to hear from people from your past. And I don't mean people that are beggars and hangers-on. I mean people that are in your corner.
Yeah. I'm starting to hear from a lot of people.
Like, high school?
High school, grammar school. Like, he was in my third grade class, and I remember eating lunch with you and stuff like that. He got you on my fantasy team. I respond to all of them, but it's good to hear.
Someone said the other day after they watched you take that pass, and it was basically a foot race, I think. I don't know if that corner had an angle on you. It didn't look like he ever got any closer to you. Would you describe yourself as deceptively fast or fast?
Nah, I'm slow. I'm a slow receiver.
sure you are.
I'm a slow man. I just go out there and try to catch all the little passes.
All right. I'm a little gullible. I've been around you guys long enough to realize that, you realize you can take it. But you weren't I think it's maybe because of your size. That you are 6'2", 220, and stuff like that, and sometimes burners or deep threats aren't considered guys that are, legitimately 4'2", 4'3 guys.
Mm-hmm.
But some guys, they always say, and I've even read this recently about Aurelius, he plays faster. What does that mean? What does that mean? He plays faster.
He goes out there and...
You too. Include yourself in that.
Well, I told you I'm slow. Yeah. I mean, you know, Aurelius plays fast. Like, you'll go out there and this corner, he run a 4-2, and people will say, he's fast, you're not going to run by him, and he'll shoot right by him. And it's like, dang, are you that fast? Like, why we don't see this all the time? So he shows it in the game. So I guess that's what they mean when they say he plays faster.
I don't want to ask you too many questions about it because hopefully that some of the callers that will call in will talk to you about it. But I got to ask you, like, flea flickers. We're starting to see the wide receiver spread. That was like a little bubble screen down by the end zone to Spurlock. A lot of things. Greg Olsen seems to be trusting his young receivers with more and more and more of the playbook. Is that mutual? Where is that coming from? Or is that just install?
He's telling us that we got to grow up fast. He tells us that every day in meetings. You guys got to grow up fast. And that's what we take a hand to ourselves, and Spurlock take control of meeting sometimes, and he tell us, like, we got to grow up. Like, we got to act like we've been here for 5 years. We got to – so they can start trusting us, and they can start putting us in the playbook for more opportunities and stuff, and Ole's starting to trust us.
There's no pressure with that? No pressure?
No, not at all. It's just football.
I know it's just football, but you're a pro team. You're 5-3. Expectations get a little higher each time you win a game of, you know, I'll ask you about the trap game. I'm not sure if you've been asked that yet, but this is a perfect example of a trap game. But you're not feeling any pressure right now, Mike?
I mean, not at all.
You could be rookie of the year offensively. I know that.
Our goals are still ahead of us. Our goals are still ahead of us. So we still got a chance to get 10 or more wins right now, and that's what we're looking forward to do. Like, we're going to do that together as a team and try to get in these playoffs.
It's a great chemistry in this locker room, and that's part of the reason is, echoed in the sentiment of this guy right here and a lot of other people that share that same sentiment, that they really do mention their teammates most of the time when you ask them a question about themselves. That's a great sign. Of course, that comes from Raheem Morris on down. That's the cohesiveness and that unity of a very young team. It's fun to watch. It really is. It's fun to be around. And you get a chance to talk to him, get on those phone lines, and we'll take your calls when we come back. 813-990-4620. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. Don't forget, tomorrow night we sit down with Josh Freeman, Michael Spurlock. Run, Michael, run. It's getting to be a regular phrase in the Gene Deckerhoff call book. And that is our guest for Friday night. We got you covered right here in Buccaneers Total Access. Coming back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Quick snap, play action, fake to Blunt, dropping is Freeman, throws the ball, the long ball, downfield toward Mike Williams, he makes the catch, touchdown Tampa Bay, perfect throw Freeman, and a great round run, a post route by Michael Williams, his fourth touchdown catch of his young career, 47 yards.
I guess we're moving backwards in time. That was not last week, but 2 weeks ago. That was your first 100-yard receiving game. Another first for you. You're going to have so many firsts, and eventually, you know, everything else will be just old school, you know, no big deal. But that had to be kind of exciting for you to have your first 100-yard game in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, I kept the ball.
Nice.
every first thing I keep. Unfortunately, I can't keep the games.
You got the Cleveland touchdown. That's got to be your first TD.
Yeah, I got the Cleveland catch, the first catch, and I have the first 100-yard game.
36 catches, 559 yards so far. He's averaging 15.5 a reception. His longest is the 58-yard touchdown from last week's game. He's got 5 touchdowns total. That yards per catch going up last couple of weeks, 22, 26. That's and by the way, Mike, Demetrius, and Neil will come in right to you in about 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere, guys. That's got to be a big thing for you because when they start looking at that yards per catch, that's when safeties start worrying about deep threats, and that opens up the running game and everything else for you as well. You
know? Oh, yeah, yes. I can't wait to they start keying on me more so you can start seeing like Regis and K2 and Sammy and Michael, everybody get out and get along together.
I love that answer. That's the kind of quote you like, man. As a guy's looking to get his brothers and his co-players open because safeties are rolling in his direction. Okay, let's get this ball rolling. Neil and Demetrius, stand by. We're coming to you. Mike, You're up first on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams.
Hello?
Hey, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, man. I just wanted to say to Mike Williams, it's great having a very good receiver on our team, finally. Glad to have you here. I'll ask you my question. I'll hang up and listen to your response. I was at the St. Louis Ram game, and during the player announcements, they announced your name. You didn't come out of the tunnel, but when they announced Josh's name, Josh Freeman, you came out with him. Was that like a sign of unity that you guys are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the NFL, or what? And I'll just hang up and listen to your answer, man.
It wasn't a sign of, like, unity or, like, a statement or anything. Josh just wanted to play around, and he said, just go out so people won't think you here and just run out with me. So we kind of, like, planned that together, and I came out with Josh.
Very nice. You know, isn't it funny how when people see something like that, they start to think, you know, hey, these guys are brothers already. You know, everybody will look into it their own way. That's cool. Demetrius, welcome to the program. You are up with Mike Williams.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
All right, great. And you?
Great. I want to apologize to you, man, because the last couple of weeks I kept you on my fantasy team and you hurt me. So I want to apologize. I'm going to put you on there this week.
I think you had you benched.
Yeah, I benched you on my fantasy team. But you know what? Ironically, I picked you in the fourth round of this year's draft, so that's ironic. But listen, do you sometimes, when you're out on the field, I know you're playing for the team, you're playing for yourself. Do you sometimes think, you know, are these people trusting me on their team? Does those thoughts even go across you or any other players' mind about the fantasy league?
About the fantasy league? I kind of don't, like, worry about what goes on in the fantasy league and stuff like that. I just basically try to go out there and help my team win. And if I put up fantasy stats, I do. If I don't, I don't. I really don't care about that. I just care about if my team win or not.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. We got two open lines, one in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620. Also got an open line at 1-800-596-BUCKS. Dial them up. Neil, welcome to the program. Neil, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. Hey, Mike Williams, how you doing, buddy?
All right, great. And you?
Good. I have to tell you, I'm a former Buffalonian from Buffalo. I lived down here 20 years, and I also went to school at Syracuse, so you and I got a few things in common.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I guess the only thing is that you're playing the NFL, I'm not. So that's where it all stops. But and I was actually there when Coach Marone was playing back in the day, back in the 80s, so go Orangemen. But my question for you is, what's the biggest adjustment? I know a lot of players say that, you know, sometimes the jump from high school to college is one thing, but then when you go from college to the NFL, it's like it's that plus, you know, 1,000. I was wondering, obviously you seem to have adapted pretty quick, but I'm sure it's, you know, it's not simple out there. So I guess my question is what's been the biggest adjustment going from college to the NFL?
Well, the biggest adjustment to me has been the speed of the game. It's been getting used to
your
speed.
Slow.
Yeah, because I'm a kind of slow kind of guy. So the game was, like, too fast for me. And now I'm, like, slowing down for me, and I'm getting to show what I can do because I'm, like, playing at the same speed as those guys, even though they way faster than me. But that's been the adjustment to me.
You there, Neil? Okay, appreciate the call. Open line where Neil just dropped off. Let's ask you about that safety coverage. I don't want to talk too many X's and O's there, but you're noticing, obviously, you're going to start to draw more and more doubles. Down in the red zone, you're getting more attention paid to you, things like this. But is it starting to, you know, like with Regis being open on a flea flicker, Regis was open the week before on a deep ball. Are we starting to see, that, like you said, the coverages are rolling to you, and that's opening things up for Sammy and everybody else?
Yeah, I'm starting to see it a lot. Like, on certain downs, I'm getting doubled sometimes, and I'm starting to, like, dang, I go back to the sideline, man, like, what was that coverage? And they pull it up, and it's like, you was doubled that play. Because, you know, I'm like, I don't know how I didn't get open. So I'm starting to kind of see it, and it's kind of blended in with the speed, too. So sometimes I don't see that I'm getting doubled. And
sure.
So
sure.
But I'm going to adjust to it.
And you and Josh, you know, everybody who's ever met Josh, or if you listen to Josh, or if you've seen him in press conferences, he's just a level-headed kid, and you know he's going to get along with everybody on his team. But you guys seem to have, quite the relationship already.
Oh, yeah. From the start, since the first day I got drafted, he called me and told me to get down here early, and I did. And we just began to get a friendship from there on, and it's starting to get better and better.
That's Mike Williams. If you want to talk to him, jump on the phone to Hillsborough 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. Going back to the phones, John, you're on Buccaneers Total Access. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm going to get a little deep on you. The last great Mike wide receiver we had come through town was Michael Clayton, had a great rookie year, but in the grand scheme of things ended up really being a bust. You started thinking about how you're going to prepare or what you're going to do maybe at the end of the season moving forward. So, you know, out here you end up being the next Reggie Wayne and not the next Michael Clayton for us.
Michael Clayton was a good guy to me and still is. He talked to me about his rookie year and how he fell off and why he fell off and stuff like that. And he didn't want me to make the same mistakes he made. So he had me watch his whole rookie season and what he did his rookie year and then his whole second season and to see, like, the drop-off there. So basically what I'm going to try to keep doing is stay in touch with Josh, stay in shape, always try to learn more about the game and keep watching film.
All right. Hey, that's a great answer. I appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Good question, though, John. Appreciate it. Very good question. Let's go right back to the phones. Marla. Marla, you're up with Mike Williams.
Hi, Mike. It's Marla and Claremont. We're just wondering, who is the biggest mentor that you have on the team, and how proud is your mom? We see her a lot at the games, and how proud is she of you?
Go Bucks!
And Mariah says, go Bucks.
My biggest mentor is, I got to say, all the receivers. Like, it's always that certain point where one person to pick me up, or if I drop a pass, another person to pick me up, or stuff like that. And it's always Michael Spurlock in my ear telling me, run a route like this. This is how you get open with this route. And Sammy telling me this coverage and this corner do this. And Regis telling me to go up and get it instead of let it fall in my hands. It's like everybody got something with them. And it's like the receiver team as a group has been like mentors to me, including Mike Clayton. And that's still to this day. He still considers himself a part of our team, and we still say he's a part of our team. But my mom is very proud of me. Like, every day she tell me, like, keep going and show everybody what they was missing and prove to them and show to them who the real Mike Williams is.
I like that. Good answer. Marla, good question. Appreciate it. You guys, last couple of weeks, pretty much throughout the year, have had a slow start first quarter, kind of about into the second quarter, things start to happen. It's not like you're having three and outs. I mean, for last game, you moved the sticks twice, had to punt it, and then a couple of times again, had to punt it. What is it? Everybody thinks it's the youth. What is the slow start to you? Why are these things happening?
I don't know. I mean, we can't convert every third down. Like, it's no team never win 100% on third down. So, right now, I don't know. It's just, it could be anything. I mean, defense might have had a good defense call for that play, or me, a rookie, messing up the play. Like, me going out there and running the wrong route and not getting the right read or something like that. But it's just, we just got off slower. We just got to get adjusted to the game and see the new coverages they're getting at us. So we just adjust as we go.
You guys seem to finish. It's almost, and the defense too. I mean, this is not just the offense we're talking about. The defense statistically is, you know, almost twice as good in the second half of the game. Same thing with the offense. Again, is that just, you think a lot of you guys are starting to realize that you got to bring it first play of the game?
Well, I guess you could say that. We know that you have to bring it first play of the game, and we know how you got to try to stay in the game, but this lead is about making adjustments, and it's like
true
halftime adjustments and things like that. And as we go on, we see the new coverages and the new blitzes they getting in, and we see what they doing, what their tendencies are, and that we get adjusted like that. So I guess you could say that's the reason for the slow start.
I wanted to make a comment because Marla had and the caller before talked about the wide receivers. If you got a chance to TiVo last week's game, go back and watch Michael Spurlock's first run back. I think it was about 68 yards. He gets over the sideline, and Sammy couldn't play. Sammy was there, but and Sammy practically headbutts him. He's so pumped up. And that's really what you get. No matter who makes the play, the other guys are there for him. There's none of that infighting. There's none of that, I need eight balls thrown to me a game. You know, we can use Cincinnati. We can use other teams. And we can literally talk about prima donnas. And, for you know, this is what you don't have with a young Buccaneers team. You got guys that are out there rooting for each other to excel, and that's what makes it so fun to watch. So let's go back to the phones. We're going all the way to Alaska. Buck fans are everywhere, man. They're everywhere. Justin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hey, Mike, I just want to say you got some sick, sick ball skills, and, you know, I'm definitely happy that the Buccaneers picked you up. You know, a couple questions, and then I'll hang up to listen. But wanted to know, how does it feel to, you know, lead the league for rookies as far as catches, touchdowns, and receiving yards? And, you know, if you have a chip on your shoulder because you were picked, you know, so far in the draft, and, you know, just keep on doing what you're doing, and everybody, all the Bucs fans in Alaska love you, man. You guys keep kicking.
Oh, well, it feels good to, like, go out and lead all the rookies and like, touchdowns and things like that. But what really feels good is us getting wins, and it feels good that I'm on a winning team. So me going out there and getting touchdowns and getting catches really don't matter if we're not winning. It's like they keep on saying possible rookie of the year and things like that, and I really don't care about that. People say that because that's like the right thing to say, but I really don't. It's just me going out there proving to these people that I'm not the guy they said I was before I got here. So, and that's just my goal.
Hines Ward made a comment the other day, because if you've ever watched Hines Ward, he's a physical receiver, but he always seems like he's smiling. And he says, I smile because it does nothing but piss off the guys on the other team. You have a tendency, you have that face shield, the clear shield, but there's a smile like 90% of the time. You're walking back to the huddle, you're smiling, you're headed out. Is it hard to take you out of your game mentally? Is it tough for a DB or anybody to really get you riled up?
I say I'm mentally strong. I go out there and try to get in their heads and, like, try to use what they using on me against them, stuff like that. And I guess I get DBs that talk stuff, and I just won't say nothing.
At all.
And they just get mad. Man, I just won't say nothing. I just go out there and play my game. And then when we win the game, I go and say, I shake his hand, like, good game, things like that. And they'd be mad at that. So that's my way of getting back.
So you know, it's third and 13. You catch an 18-yard slant. Someone pops you. You can see him kind of talking to you a little bit. You get up. You throw the ball to the ref. You kind of look back. You smile. You nod. You usually say a little something back and forth. You're like, yeah, you know, are you just saying whatever, man, bring it? I mean.
No, I was saying first down. Like, you cheering for me getting the first down. And that's a bad thing for your team. You cheering for me. And I'll say something like that or like try to throw the ref the ball, but like throw it at him a little bit. Things like that.
Who talks the most smack of all the receivers?
I'll say Michael Spurlock.
Yeah.
I think him and Preston Parker, they talk a lot of smack. So between them two.
I'm normally in a locker room on Wednesday with my microphone. I didn't come in today, and Jeff Ryan asked me to ask you about you in the locker room today. Were you entertaining the troops? What were you doing?
Oh yeah, I was really giving my teammates interviews. Like every time the cameras was in their face, I would go and give them a little interview, ask them a question on camera, or something like,
who? Like
that. Like I did a really is I asked him how did he feel about his first touchdown, and I did Spurlock too, and I said how long have you had his braces in?
So that's probably running on the news right about now somewhere locally. Let me ask you about throwing receivers open. Josh said last week on his show, he said, I want my receivers to know that I know that they're out there getting pounded and hit, and I don't want to put them in bad positions. I want to give them balls that are easy to catch, that don't expose ribs, you know. And I said throwing them open, and it's a phrase that a lot of coaches use. In other words, put the ball where the receiver can get it. He's either safe or it's not going to get picked. Josh Aurelius' touchdown is a perfect example of that. He was fairly well covered on that. I mean, the linebacker was running with him. I just want you to talk a little bit about your skill set of your quarterback for me.
Oh, he's very good. It surprised me how he know what's going to happen. Like, he before it happened, like, just by movements and stuff like that. Like, sometimes I go out there and he'd give me a slant or something like that, and I look and like in front of all those linebackers, but then as soon as the snap of the ball, they all disappear, and it's like, wow, how did he know that? Like,
he's studying film.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like his skills is crazy, man. I seen him, like, I was standing on the goal line the other day, and and he told me he was going to throw the ball to my right hand, and I had it down like this, and he was like 40 yards, and he just kept hitting my right hand. Every single time. I had my hand down by my knees. He just kept hitting my right hand, and that's crazy to see how accurate he is.
You know, that was the – it's kind of – isn't that funny how that was the knock on him coming out of K-State was he was like 50%. You know, his completion percentage wasn't that high. And now I asked him, also asked him this, is because not all the balls are going to you or Kellen. Sometimes, you know, Cadillac, look at Cadillac, you know, 8 catches a game now. He's starting to really distribute the ball like a quarterback is supposed to. You know, sometimes you'll look at that receiving chart at the end of the game and the receivers have 3 or 4. Each guy's got 3 or 4 catches. The tight ends have a couple. Backs have a couple. Josh is really working well in the workings of the offense, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like he knows his hot reads. He know when to check down. He know when we're not open. And he's just, like I said, he's very smart.
Well, do you like blocking for him? Because he said today in his press conference he's not crazy about running. It's not that he doesn't want to run. He just would prefer to stand back and throw the ball. That was his quote today. But the minute you see him running – and he's got some big white. Yeah, you're a pretty big guy. You can throw some blocks too down there. So,
yeah.
What's it like when Josh takes off?
It's like I hope he don't run up on me while I'm blocking for him. I mean, that's an injury waiting to happen. So, I go and try to get a good cut blocking or something. Get out his way.
Most receiving touchdowns by a rookie, of course, Michael Clayton. He's come up in conversation a couple of times. 7. He did that in 2004. The guy we're talking to tonight has got 5 halfway through the season. After that is Kevin House, wide receiver, going all the way back to 1980. Kevin had 5 that year. That was the complete. And other guys you've heard of, like Horace Copeland and Anthony Riddell and Lawrence Dossey and Mark Carrier and quite a few wide receivers who in their rookie seasons had all 3 or 4 touchdowns respectively. You're starting to see, and by the way, expect more from Aurelius Penta. He looks like he's really starting to get his X's and O's down.
Yeah, he's got it. He's not getting it no more. Yeah. He's got it. Like some plays, I come out the huddle and he'll tell me what I got.
That's good.
So it's like you know he's in tune in the game and in tune to what he has.
Mike Williams, want to talk to him? Jump on the phone lines. Hillsborough, it's 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Tomorrow night, Josh Freeman. Friday night, Michael Spurlock. Run, Michael, run. The guy had over 200 yards in return yards last week in the Buccaneers game, and we'll talk a little bit about special teams and how that arm of this football team, the third arm of this football team, has just been excelling when we come back and do more of Buccaneers Total Access on a Wednesday night. Man, this week's flying by. Flying by for you?
Oh, yeah. Every week it seemed like
you had a walkthrough today?
Yesterday. Yeah, a little walkthrough today.
Tomorrow's pads?
Tomorrow's pads.
Friday's pads.
Fridays is a speed practice, no pads.
Okay. All right, we're going to come back, talk about that, and, of course, the Carolina Panthers and that infamous trap game that the Buccaneers are now expected to win. How does it feel to be expecting to win a game finally?
I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll come back, take your phone calls, jump on. We got open lines for you at all those numbers, 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. Coming back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
First down, Bucks at the Carolina 35. Offset eye formation. Freeman, a 5-step drop. Looks, goes toward the end zone. It's caught at the 20, to the 15, to the 10. It's Mike Williams to the 5. 3-2-1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Williams, the rookie from Syracuse. And the Bucks lead 13-7.
A couple of times you've caught balls almost kind of going down the sideline, broke it towards the middle. I remember that play, and it was almost like last week where you took it. It seems like the pattern you're running is towards the sideline, but then you bust it wide open in the middle. That I remember that one. You actually broke tackles to get into the end zone in that one. Mm-hmm. Yards after the catch is a big thing in the NFL. It's sometimes not talked about as much because sometimes guys are catching, you know, like Spurlock's catch the 43-yarder from that Josh threw from the end zone, mm-hmm. which was basically all air. In other words, the catch was all air. But you can catch a 3-yard slant and go 58 yards. You want to be known as a guy who can do both, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I want to be known as a guy going there and block and catch all the tough catches and catch the easy catches too, but a run past a guy. But like you said, dude, I want to be the guy to do it all.
Yards after the catch. Realius Ben is another guy. Be on the lookout for him to start freighting a safety or two. Trap game. We're hearing this all week. Media's talking about it. I guess this is what happens when you end up 5-3 for the first half of the season and you're playing a team you've beaten. You're expected to beat them now. You're favored. That hasn't been the story that much for the team. What's been the concentration? You know, we like loose players, relaxed players, but we don't like guys that aren't taking it seriously. You guys aren't missing a beat, we hope, here. No trap game, right?
No, not at all. Our goals is to win 10 games, and this is another game. So we got to go out here and prepare like we normally prepare and win this game. I mean, we look at every game as we got an opportunity to win the game, man. And players want to go out there and prove to everybody we got a chance. So you also want to go out there and scare other teams too. So we don't look at it as a trap game.
What did your coach say about the Carolina Panthers when he talked to you this week about them?
Well, he said they still a team that's fighting. Like he said, they're usually a team that's in a position, like gives up and start falling off.
Dallas.
And things like that. Mm-hmm. But he said they still fighting, putting in new blitz practices. They still working with new people win and trying to still win games. And what he said was our next game is always the most important game, and that's our next game. So we got to go out there and get a win.
Buccaneers Total Access, 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. We're going to go back to the phones. Chris, you are up with Mike Williams. Welcome to the program, Chris.
How you doing, Mike Williams?
All right, great, Chris.
I was just wanting to tell you, I'm in the armed forces, and I was stationed at in Watertown,
mm-hmm.
So not too far from Syracuse. How were you able to adjust to the different weather type that you're now in Tampa? And what's your advice to a young wide receiver in high school trying to better his game?
Well, with the temperature and stuff, if you can go out and play in the snow and play in cold weather, I think you can go and play anywhere. It's just a matter of going and doing it. I think my adjustment with that was drink more water. Like, you got to stay hydrated out here in this heat, and where you really didn't have to stay that hydrated in the snow. So the heat is out there. But with the high school receivers, my mom always say it. I mean, I know it's cliche. She say, if you fall down, get back up. Like, and that's just something I go by. Like, people say I made a lot of mistakes and that I did this wrong and did that wrong. But one thing I did was get back up. No matter what they said, I just kept going and get back up. So they going to have their bumps and their roads. Like, high school people have talent. So if you don't go to the right school you want to go to, if you got to fight for a scholarship, just keep going and everything going to work itself out.
That's good advice for everybody who's trying to stay the career path. You know, you're gonna face some adversity, and if you get up, that's half a life. Let me ask you about quick strike or big play offense. A lot of teams want to think they have one. All fans want to know that we can be down by 14 or 17, and we are getting right back into those games. But we're not used to seeing that here in the Tampa Bay area. We're used to seeing more of a defense run the ball, play it close to the vest. We're not seeing 50-yard touchdowns on a regular basis. Seeing a different identity for the team is what I'm saying here. When I say big strike or big play offense to you, what comes to mind?
Like you said, 58-yard touchdowns and big plays, like touchdowns, basically. Like, you got to get points out of big plays. And when you say big strike, you got to get points, no matter if you put in field goal range or if you score a touchdown. Like, for big plays, you got to get points.
What about the red zone? I mean, there seems to be a different mentality sometimes where Dave Moore made it is always talking about the addition of a good running game in the end in the red zone makes things real difficult for defenses. And now that LeGarrette and Cadillac are kind of a 1-2 punch, do you foresee us being even more prolific in the red zone eventually?
Oh yeah, putting nine in a box if they want to. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? That's I'm daring you. Like, that's what I'm going by. Or double teaming and watch Cadillac or LeGarrette get in there. Like, I can't wait to see how teams start responding to that.
This is radio, but I will let everybody know that almost every time tonight I have asked him about a different player on his team, his face lit up like a Christmas tree. The big smile comes from his face. And that's just a great thing to see when one guy's talking about getting another guy open. But LeGarrette is he's going to be fun to watch in the next couple of weeks, especially when we get to cold weather football, or maybe throwing the ball, or we get into a windy situation, and sometimes, you know, we won't be so prolific. But, you know, this is a young rookie team. There's so many rookies on the team. But how has LeGarrette been looking?
Oh, he's been looking good, man. It's like you go through certain plays where – you only expecting like 4 or 5 yards out this run and stuff like that. And he would break about 3 tackles, and then you look like, oh, he right on my back. I gotta get up here and
keep holding that
keep
block,
on
run down
a little bit more. And that's how it always is with him. So one thing I learned about LeGarrette, you gotta keep blocking.
Coach Yarber, give you guys any grief if there's no big runs? Because it's usually because wide receivers aren't, you know, getting the block.
Yeah, you're right. We get it a lot. If you'd have made this block and made that block, it would have been a 60-yard run instead of a 6-yard run. We get it a lot. But we trying to get our blocking together.
Let me ask you about Michael Spurlock and special teams. Richard Passaccia's unit has really excelled last year, actually going back 2 years ago when Michael broke, you know, the curse, if you will, and got us off the schneid. And then, you know, everybody, we go back to Clifton Smith, we go to Sammy Strotter. We haven't seen you run any punts or kicks back, you know, but we have, and Preston Parker, we have so many different weapons at special teams. And then we have gunners like Savvy Piscatelli the other day down on a punt on the half-inch line. And special teams gets talked about on pregame and postgame shows, but people don't talk about it at the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know, but what I found out about the NFL was special teams change the game. Like, field position is, like, crazy in the NFL. If you got good field position, you guaranteed 3 points, really, if you get a couple good plays. But if you got bad field position and you get a couple good plays, you're still not in field goal range. And it still takes a toll on your defense where you're in bad field position and now you got to punt, even though you didn't got a couple good plays out of there already. But like Michael Spurlock, I told him that touchdown he ran back last week, that was all me. Like, he wouldn't have did that if it wasn't for me. Like, all practice that week, I was telling him, like, yo, man, I've been watching everybody else in the NFL run things back. What happened to you? I'm like, when I get here, you just don't want to run back a kick. And I'm like, keep telling him to hit it. And he sure hit it. So I told him that he got to dedicate that touchdown to me.
Is it the 68-yarder and then the one that goes through Stovall's legs? It looked like I don't know if the unit just slowed down or broke down and they thought someone was going to be a little scrum. Next thing you know, he's that tightrope down the end zone. That one, that's not easy to do. That's some pretty darn good balance.
Yeah, he always do some crazy stuff like that, catch in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
things like that. He always shows something else on the field.
I don't want to speak for him, but we'll have him on the show Friday night. But, you know, one of his goals, and he did bounce a little around the NFL as a kick returner. He did play a little wide receiver at Arizona. I mean, he got a couple of reps in there. But he's really becoming, you know, the Cleveland touchdown catch, the Cincinnati catch to set up the game-winning field goal. Last week, even more catches. And, you know, his catches are like 22, 29-yard comebackers, back shoulder throws. He's really starting to, you know, the receiver tree, I guess you can say, he's starting to show himself as more and more of a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You came in as a wide receiver. He came in as a kick returner. Does he have a chip on his shoulder? You know him.
Yeah, he easily has a chip on his shoulder. Like you said, he bounced around the lead, and a lot of teams let him go for this reason and that reason. And now he getting an opportunity to prove himself. He getting the ops, like he getting balls and stuff like that. So he's showing what he can do at the receiver position too. So he's showing his chip on his shoulder too.
I love it. I love it. George, you're next. We're going back to the phones. You're up with Mike Williams. Welcome to the program, George.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? How you doing, Mike? How you doing, Ledge?
All right, great,
great,
George.
Man.
Hey, yeah, Mike, I have a question. I love your body of work that you're doing for us. But when you were coming out during the draft, the knock on you was your attitude. And they said you had a bad attitude. You were real arrogant. But all I've ever seen since I've seen you play and seen you in the community is that you're a real humble guy. And I want to know how you feel about that. And also, one last thing, I want everybody to make sure they vote for you for Rookie of the Week and also vote for these guys for the Pro Bowl. Hey, thanks for all your work, and I listen to your answers.
Well, what everybody's saying, I had a bad attitude and stuff like that. like I said, it was just media putting out stuff that wasn't true and using people's words and just trying to fill in the blanks. So, like, now that I'm on a bigger stage, they starting to see how I act and my attitude and starting to see that I'm not the guy that everybody said I was. And like I said, when I first got here, one of my goals was to prove everybody that I'm a good guy on and off the field.
I like that. Was you a little frustrated? I mean, you know, draft day comes, you pick fourth. Obviously, you know, Mark Dominic called you up and probably said the same thing. Michael, we like you. We know your first round material. You fell to us. We're going to take advantage of that, obviously. Was there a little frustration coming into the draft? Because, you know, you understand. You know where you're ranked. And you know that a couple of things happened, you know, outside the lines, as they like to say, that, you know, didn't really involve you. You were a passenger in a car and different things like that. Was there an urgency to prove people wrong, or did you know you'd have the opportunity to prove people wrong, and were you willing to wait for that?
Yes, I was willing to wait, and I was like I told people when I first got here, I was like, if I don't play this year, I'm gonna play. Like, I'm gonna get in there somehow, some way, and I'm gonna work to get in there. It just happened that I'm playing this year, but it was me just getting in the position to prove people wrong. Like, if I wouldn't have got drafted and I had to go the hard way, I was still going to do it somehow.
Coming in as a free agent, sure,
yes,
sure.
Some way, somehow, I was going to still do it. And that was my goal, and I did it.
Well, I'm awfully glad you're on our football team, and Mark Dominic was smart enough to watch your highlight film. If you haven't seen it, go just Google Syracuse or the Cuse or anything, and you will see some of the catches he made in that cold weather and that snow. Hey, if you want to wonder about NFC leaders in receiving yards, Roddy White, who he's a stud too, isn't he? That guy can play.
Mm-hmm.
He can play. He's got 796 yards. This is for NFC. Miles Austin of the Cowboys at 657. Hakeem Nicks for the Giants. You're in some pretty good crowd here. Yeah, I know some of these names. Santana Moss from Washington at 604. Marcus Colston, we all know who he is, 592, and there you are with 559 yards. You know, when you're mentioned in those names, and I know you're humble, so, you know, but it's got to be a little rewarding to be in the same conversation with some of these guys that are at the height of their game right now.
Oh, yeah. When you hear my name with them, I just go like, wow, like I'm finally here. Like, things like that come to my head, and like, now I'm trying to pass them now. Now I'm going for Roddy right now. It's like it's things like that comes in my head every time I hear stuff like that with them in my name. Like, I want to be the next Jerry Rice that always work and stay in the league for a long time and always known as a good guy. So when I hear my name like that, I feel like I'm on my path there.
Ever seen any of those old NFL documentaries on Jerry Rice where they show these guys, you know, running with parachutes behind them and running up and down hills and Walter Payton and stuff like that? Do you picture yourself like 7-8 years, you know, when you really have to work extra hard to maintain your body? Do you hope to have that long a career?
Oh, yeah. I hope I'll be a buck for the rest of my life. Like, I'm going to try to be here, like, try to beat Jerry Rice, try to go 25 years. Hopefully I can do that, but I can see myself doing that, like keeping up my body and running with parachutes and working out every other day just to stay healthy.
That's Mike Williams, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, yeah, 36 catches coming into the Carolina game, 559 yards. He's averaging 15.5 a pop. That's not bad. We had five different receivers last week in double-digit yards. You know what I'm saying? We're starting to see that ball distribution from our young quarterback, and the young talent on this team is starting to I want to ask you about installs real quick when we get back. We'll have a couple minutes left. As we get ready to do the Josh Freeman show tomorrow night, Michael Spurlock, who we've been talking about a little bit tonight, will sit down on Friday night for Buccaneers Total Access. We'll come back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Total Access. A couple more minutes with Mike Williams. Out of the 8 weeks, the NFL is, or actually technically 9 weeks, the NFL, because we've had the bye week. Of those 8 games the Bucs have played, you've been nominated for Rookie of the Week 6 times. 6 times. But every time you're up against some guy that had like a 180 or, you know, two touchdowns, you had one and that type of thing. But consistency is what I'm getting to. You seem to be having – are you happy with the consistency in your performance?
Yeah, I think I can perform a little bit
you
better.
You can vote, by the way. I'll give you the vote. NFL.com, Rookie of the Week. Go ahead.
I think I'm happy with my consistency, but I think that I can still help my team win more games and instill little things like that drop pass, man. I still regret it. I still see it in my dreams now. But I'm happy that I'm being pretty consistent.
Early on at the end of last year, everybody kept saying, "Are we giving Josh too much of the playbook?" You know, he's that type of thing. And then that was the big talk at OTAs and everything. I kept hearing the words "install." You know, we're not able to practice so much because we're still installing offense. Where are we there?
I think. We there.
Yeah.
I think everything is there.
I'm seeing flea flickers and stuff now, yeah. So I'm thinking we got some of this stuff down.
We there, and everybody's learning different positions and stuff now. Like, we have our position down pat now. He's learning other positions now. So I think we at that point where people know their stuff now.
You mentioned that Josh really knew where linebackers were, and he called a slant. And Greg Olsen really seems to be – really stepping up his game now, and I think a lot of it has to do with he realizes that when I call this back shoulder throw, Spurlock's going to make this catch. Josh is going to put it where it needs to be. But how much is Greg Olsen really the identity of this offense as well? Because we don't mention him too much, you know.
Well, he's the one that's like in Josh Ayers. If you see this, make this check. If you see this, make this call. So he's like the brain behind the situation out there. So
the Wizard of Oz behind the screen, huh?
Exactly. It's a whole chess game, man. And he's always calling the right play, it seemed like, in the second half. He know the coverage that's going to be, and he's calling his right play. So I think he's 100% responsible.
Well, we saw flea flicker. We saw, like I said, that wide receiver bubble screen where three wideouts or what was it, four? You had four wideouts on one side of the field right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's a ton of plays like that in the playbook, but we're starting to see a lot more of that. Are we going to see more of it? You know?
Yeah.
You don't tip the hand, but you know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit more. It's going to be more. It's more each week. It's just a matter of calling it, and he has the guts to call those plays.
On Sunday, you guys get to run out of the tunnel. You've been on the road for a couple of weeks, and then you're going to have to turn around and go on the road again. So this is an important home game for you guys. You guys got to get back to 2-2 in the division. You can't afford a division loss because then tiebreakers and Atlanta and New Orleans already have a step up on us. This is a big, big football game for this team, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very big. Like I told people, everybody's saying, like, a trap game. This is a big game for us. Like, it's not – a trap game is when – you go into another game and you expected to win, like you said.
Past that.
But when it comes to a divisional opponent and if you lose, you like basically put yourself out of a race. It's like we can't lose. This is a big game for us, and we go in there and trying to get a win.
How can we get you off to a fast start this week?
I don't know. I know they got me mic'd up during the game.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. So
sweet.
That might help.
Well, talk a little trash. Come on, talk a little trash. Just a little.
Nah.
First down, something like that, no?
Josh said he going to get, like, dramatical in the huddle and stuff now because he know I'm mic'd up.
Ah, great. Hey, listen, real quick, if you're headed to the game, the Glazer Family Foundation, the holidays are right around the corner. You can help the Buccaneers sack hunger. That's right. You can bring cans, meats, vegetables, canned soups, peanut butter, anything that's non-perishable. Bring it to Raymond James Stadium, all gates and club entrances, food items, you name it. It's that time of year again. The Glazers want you to help the neighborhood. Hey, we're done. We're out of time.
Oh, man.
Get me two touchdowns this week.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to try.
All right, man. Yeah. I appreciate everybody who called in. Michael, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. We know you're real busy and all. Stay healthy, okay?
All right, you too.
Got it. All right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow night with the Josh Freeman Show. Don't forget Michael Spurlock on Friday night right here on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.